We're on Daf Chav Dalet Amud Aleph, 12 lines up from the bottom of the Daf, the last 12 lines on the Amud. Amar Rabbi Yitzchak, Tefach Ba'isha Erva. If a woman's hair is exposed, a Tefach's amount, which is like a hand breadth, then that's an Erva. And the Gemara is now going to analyze as my Nafkimina. Lamai, ilemalas tekulebo. If you're talking about the iser staklus, that you're not allowed to look at a married woman whose flesh is exposed, the tefach, then va'amar Rav Sheshes says regarding what it says in Milchemes Midjan, Bamidbar Lamed Aleph, it says vanakrev es korban Hashem. Ish asher matza chli zahav, etz ada v'tzamid tabas agil v'chumaz. And there's a whole list of different kinds of utensils that they took in booty, the Jewish people took from Midjan in the war. And the Gemara is going to darshan now some of the details on this list. This biza was brought by Sari Alofim v'meos, and it was brought as a truma to the Beis Hashem, and some of it, at least, was a kapar fehira vera, because, as you know, the Jewish people were guilty of having a vera with benos midjan. Loma mona kosev tachshitin shebachutz. Im tachshitin shebifnim. There are two categories of ornaments, of jewelry here. There's etzada utzmid, and this is something that a woman wears on the outside in a makom galui, a place that's normally exposed. Etzada is a golden foot ring, something that they wear on the foot, and tzmid is something, a bracelet that they wear on their hands. And these are listed together with tachshitim shebifnim, which is a reference to agil and kumas that are usually worn in places that are covered. An agil is really worn on the chest of a woman, and a kumas is a kind of an ornament that covers her private parts on the bottom. So why are these listed together? Lomar L'chos comes to teach us, kol ha-mistakel b'etzba ketana shel isha, kilu mistakel b'mokom ha-toref, that if a person gazes upon a place of a woman, a place that's normally exposed, like, for example, a ring that's wore on the finger, tabas is mentioned here in this list, it's equated to the tachshitin mibifnim, which means it's as if he was gazing upon her private areas, the makom erva. Any part of the goof that's covered normally is called turfa, makom turfa. So if this be the case, it's impossible to explain that Tefach B'isha Erva is a reference to the Iser Staklus, because even Etzba Ketana, which is normally exposed, is and it's less than a Tefach in size, nevertheless it's also to be mistaken. So it goes without saying that Tefach B'isha, and even for that matter, less than a tefach would be included in the Iser Staklus. Now, it's interesting that the Rambam in Perkhof Aleph Milchus Isur Bio, when he talks about all the archokas, he writes, Oso lahabit biyofia shal achas me'arayos, velokin alze makas mardus. And this is also brought down in Shulchan Aruch. And the commentaries write that according to the Rambam, the Isra Abot Berv is only Durabbanon. Rabbi Yonah holds that it's an Isra Doraisa under the Pasuk in Krichma, Lo sasuru achrei levavchem v'achrei meichem. That's what we have as a machlokas, whether we're dealing with a doraisa drabbanon. The Mishnah Berurah points out in Simon Ayin Erchaim that the Isul Istakel applies when he has kavana l'shem hanah. However, the Prima Gadim writes that it's also to look at a woman's body that's normally parts of the body that's normal, that are normally covered, even Bereiya Ba'alma, even if he doesn't have in mind l'shem hanah. The Rabbeinu Yonah seems to assume that if a person sees something without any kavana at all, then it's mutter even if it's a place that's normally covered. So that has to be studied l'alocha. Ella, so now we have to come and reinterpret Rabbi Yitzchak. Tefach b'isha erva b'ishto. So there's no iser staklus b'ishto. And what is the relevance? And what's the significance of tefach b'isha erva l'kriyachma? Which means, if a woman exposes, a married woman in front of her husband, exposes as part of her body that's normally covered and it's exposed, then he's not allowed to read kriyachma, because it's considered an erva. And how much more so, of course, if another woman would expose a tefach of her body that's normally covered, certainly he would be also to read Kriyat Shema. Now, there are Rishonim who seem to interpret that when it says here tefach b'isha erva, that's dafka b'ishto. As far as isha cheres, then even if less than a tefach is exposed in a place that's normally covered, then he's not allowed to read Kriyat Shema, even if he's not gazing in that area. The fact that that area of her body is exposed and it's not his wife, that's also even a less than a tefach. Now, one of the questions we have to ask ourselves is he looking at this Makom Erva or is he not? If he's looking at the Makom Erva, then for sure it'd be Osir. It would seem from this Gemara that even if the Makom Erva is somewhere in close proximity and can be seen, that's enough to generate a din erev and an isur kriyat shma. Amar Rav Chisda, shok b'isha erva. So we're talking about a married woman, and you're not allowed to gaze on her shok. And although that doesn't apply to one's wife, but as we discussed earlier with regard to one's wife, we have a problem of kriyat shma, but not istaklus. So here we're talking about shok b'isha. Now there's a major machlokas here exactly what shok b'isha means. According to one school of thought, shok b'isha is a reference to from the knees and down. And according to another opinion, it's from the knees and up. Shenemar, the Gemara derives this from a pasuk in Yeshayahu Navi regarding Bavel. And the Navi is very harsh about Bavel and foretelling that the downfall of Bavel, and it mentions divrei bizoyon, things that are very humiliating to that are going to happen to Bavel. Kechi rechaim v'tachani kemach galit samasech chespi shovel galit shok ivri naharos. Now, in this list, we have galit shok, the exposure of the thigh. And it says then in the next pasuk, Uksiv Tigol Ervasech Vagam Tera Echer Pasech, which means that as a result of the exposure of the shok, there will be an exposure of Erva, and that's going to be a sign of the Cherpa, the Busha, the embarrassment, the humiliation of Bava. But it's clear from this pasuk that the shok is considered an erva. The Beis Yosef in Arachayim in Hilchas Kriyat Shema asks the following question: what's the chiddush about shok when we just made a general statement that any part of a woman's body that is normally covered, once it's exposed, it's considered erva as far as Kriyat Shema? And to answer this question, the Beis Yosef quotes the Rashba, who says that the chiddush of shok is that even with regard to a man, af eitzel ha'ish eina erva klal, that although with regard to an isha the shok is considered an erva, but the thigh of a man is not considered an erva to generate an isa kriyat shma. And the Bach explains that the chiddush of shok is that even if it's less than a tefach, it's considered erva, whereas the rest of a woman's body is only considered erva when it's a tefach. And in the case of a tefach, we said that even as far as ishto is concerned, as far as kriyat shema, if there's a tefach that's normally covered and is exposed, then there's an iser of reading kriyat shema. Again, we weren't sure exactly where she's located. Is it anywhere in the room? Is it within Dalet Amos? Is he able to see her? All these details have to be ironed out as we go along. The Nebuk Yosef says that this din that we're learning applies to Davashab Kedusha. And we're talking about Acherim, meaning that there's something exposed here called the Shok of some other person. However, she herself, regarding Hashok, Legabi Atzma, Eino Choshev Erva. And that's a reflection of the Mishnah Chala that says a woman is allowed to be Mafresh Chala and recite a Bracha, even if her Erva is Megula. So that's as far as she vis a vis herself. Now, let's point out that according to the Mishnah Berurah in Orach Chaim Siman Ayin Hey, in the name of the Prima Godim, Shok is from the Berech and up. That means the thigh from the knee and above. However, the Chassam Sofer writes that the Shok is from the knee and below. The Chazon Ish himself vacillates about this, and he's not sure whether it's Min HaBerech Lamato or Min HaBerech Lamalo. Omer Shmuel, Kolo Kol Beisha Erva, the voice of a woman, and the Mefarshim say we're referring to the singing voice of a woman, is erva. And once again, we're talking about the Isur of reading Kriyat Shema. The Rashba says that any kol that has what's called Kirav Hadas, some sort of a warm relationship or an intimate kind of let's say a shalom, when you say shalom to a person, and it could be has a personal effect, that's also called the isha erva. Shenemar apostle in Shir Shirim ki kolech arev umarech noveh, from the fact that the pasuk is lauding and praising the kol isha, it seems that there's some beauty in the voice of an isha, and that brings to taiva. The Kesev Mishnah in the Rambam in Perek Gimel Hilchos Kriyat Shema says that we don't apply this principle of kol v'seir as erva except as far as the Isur Hanah, but not as far as Kriyat Shema is concerned. And the Rush also seems to support the Rambam's opinion that kol zemer shel isha is shchiach. And if we're going to generate an Iser, then we'll end up being Mevatel Kriyat Shema. However, the Rabbeinu Chananel, the Mardachai Rav Haigon, and many others hold that this statement of Kol B'Isha Erva, and we'll see it soon in Rav Sheshes Ser B'Isha Erva, is referring to Kriyat Shema. And we'd have to look in the poskim. Some poskim say that today we are makil with kol be'isha as far as kriyat shema is concerned, because we are separated amongst the nations of the world, and eis lasos Hashem eferus arsecha, we cannot be so careful, and we could be makil. But that doesn't necessarily mean we're allowed to be makil as far as listening to the singing voice of a woman. It's more of a kula if you're in a pinch as far as kriyat shema is concerned. Omer Rav Sheshes Seir B'Isha Erva, and he quotes again the same the same kind of derivation from Shir Hashirim as we saw earlier with regard to Kol Shenemar Sarech Ke'eder Ha'izim Shegol Shume Har Gilad. And again, he's being Mishabeach, the sayer of a woman, which means that it's a Dover Shel Noi, and it brings to Taiva, and therefore it's called an Erva. There's a tshuva, by the way, in Rav Moshe Feinstein, Legabe Kol B'Isha Erva, and we don't have time to go through the tshuva, but I just wanted to mention it, because the fact that he, Rav Moshe, identifies Ser B'Isha Erva and Kol B'Isha Erva as Dover Shel B'Taiva, it might be related to the Iser Estaklus, and in this case the Iser to listen to Kol B'Isha Erva. The Gemara in Ksubas, for example, on the Pasuk Uparas Rosha Isha in Naso, regarding a Sota, says Mikan Azhara Libnos Yisrael Shelo Yelchu V'Seyaron Megula. So that means going without Kisui Seyar. Here we're dealing with an issue of histaklus. Omar Rabbi Chanina, Anira Isius Rebbe Shetola Tefillin. So we, for the time being, we're finished with the issue of Erevah. We're going on to the issue of Kedushas Tefillin, Kavod HaTefillin. And this is a Pella, because according to this testimony, Rebbe actually hung up his tefillin from a peg. Meisvei, how could that be? We have a brace that says Atola Tefilov Yitolu Lochayov. Person should be taken. His life should be taken away if he has such a chutzpah. And Dorshe Chamuros, those who darshan different mikros, that Chamuros means are very difficult to understand, and they find a remez or a drash in the pasuk Omru. They say with regard to a pasuk in the Klolos at the end of Sefer Dvarim, in Kisavu it says, "Vayu chayecha tluim lecha mineged," as if your lives are in the balance. Zeh tolat tefilah. It's a remez to someone who balances his tefillin on a peg. And tefillin are considered chayi ha'adam. And this we see over and over again, because tefillin is equated to Torah. Torah is chayiv shel adam, kem chayenu. And tefillin is chayiv shel adam. It's the life of a person, the life force, the vitality. And if a person hangs up his tefillin, then v'hayu chayecha tluim mineged. Lo kasha. So what do we do with this minig of Rebbe? Ha biritzua v'ha b'ktsitsa. There's a difference between the bias itself and the straps. If he's tola, if he hangs his tefillin from the straps, and the tefillin are lower down, they're hanging down over air, then that's a bizayin to tefillah. But Rebbe with his tefillin was b'ktsitsa. In other words, the word ktsitsa here in this context means that the tefillin themselves were chutz meharitzua, meaning only the tefillin themselves and not the ritzuas. The ritzuas were flowing down, were hanging down, but the tefillin itself, the bottom of the tefillin, were hung up on the peg, so the peg is just balancing the bias. That's not a bizoyan. Eboy same according to the second answer, Loshna Ritzuv, Loshna Ktsitsa. In both cases, whether he's hanging the tefillin because the straps are on the peg or because the batim are on the peg, in both cases, also, it's not a covered for the tefillin. The Chitola Rebbe, the Kista Tola, and that which Rebbe was told is tefillin, it was in a kiss. Kista is an Aramaic formulation of the word kiss, meaning a nartik, what we call a zekel. And once he placed his tefillin inside the zekel, and then he had a strap around the zekel itself, in which he hung the zekel, which is strap around a peg, that's not called a bizayin. The Gemara is so convinced that it's not called a bizayin. The Gemara says,
Myla Memra. It's like Poshut. For sure, Rabbi Hanina, by telling us this testimony about Rebbe, is not really being mechadish anything to us. Ma'od the same, the Gemara answers, T-boy, I would have thought that what he has to do with his tefillin is hanocha, kisefer Torah, that just like a sefer Torah, we don't hang it up from anywhere, even though it's in its kiss, so to tefillin, even in its kiss, we shouldn't hang it up. Kamashmon, Rabbi Hanina tells us, based on the minig of Rebbe, that there's a difference between tefillin and sefer Torah. And sefer Torah, to have the sefer Torah hanging, even when it's in a box, is considered bizarre. But as far as tefillin is concerned, once the tefillin are munachos in the tick, he's allowed to hang it up. The Omri Rab Chanina, a second testimony of Chanina, Nira Isi Es Rebbe Shegiek Upiek Vinis Atesh Virok. All these things Rebbe did while he was davening, in different kind of belches and yawns and sneezes and spitting, all this while Rebbe was davening. And he was trying to remove different flies or bugs or kinim that were on his body and try to let's say, eat him, bite him. So Berlin Eder will pick this up. We're now on the top of Chav Dalet Amid Beis. This was a short shiur because we're in transit right now. Mitzvah Shem, we'll finish this tomorrow.